Here with you again. See so many familiar faces. We always enjoy coming back to Spanish Wales. It's sort of like a home away from home. And thank you for having us. And it's always a privilege to me not only to see those of you who we've come to love, but to be able to share with you from God's Word. This is our purpose of being here. And it's the desire of our hearts to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and what He can do for each of you today. I want you to turn with me this morning. I have a subject that I want us to look at over the next two Sundays that I'm here. And I know that I won't do it justice because it's going to take a lot more time than that. I'll try and go through it as quickly as I can. But the idea is that all of us will gain and glean something from it. That will be encouraging and, I trust, a challenge to our hearts and lives in this day in which we live. We're going to be using Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be going through it several passages. So I ask that you keep your Bibles open, please, if you want to follow along with me. Just before we look into God's Word this morning, let's look to the author of the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another beautiful day. Thank you, most of all, for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is through Him and by Him and for Him that we are here this morning. And we pray, our Father, today that as we open your Word, that you might open our hearts, that you might speak to me and through me, and to those that are here today. We thank you that they found the time and came out to the house of the Lord this morning. And may our hearts be blessed, challenged, and encouraged, we pray, as you speak to us from your Word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to begin this morning by asking perhaps what is an age-old question. Perhaps we've asked it ourselves. Perhaps we've heard other people ask the question, why in the world am I here? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Why in the world am I here? What's the purpose? What is the purpose of life? What did God grant you and I the opportunity to be alive and living in this world for? Well, there is a purpose. There is a great purpose in life. And that purpose is, whether we want to accept it or not, is to honor God, to glorify God. Now, that's not what's happening in our world today, in the majority of people that live in the world today. It's just not happening. And we see it continually to get worse every day of our lives. But that's what we want to look at today. Why in the world am I here? Why do some people feel so empty? I came across a little study magazine, and I've been going through it, and the Lord has blessed my heart tremendously and challenged my life as I've studied through this and through the Word of God, and I trust that our hearts will be challenged this morning. Why, the question is asked, is so many people living lives of frustration, lives of emptiness? We seem to have all that we want in the world, but we're still frustrated. We're still living lives that are empty, lives of despair, lives of hopelessness, anger, disgust. And I know that you live in the same world that I live in. We see it every day. It's happening every day around us. But who has the answers? Who has the answers? Well, I don't think anybody's been able to find out in the world in which we live today. Because there are people that are constantly searching for the answers to the reason and the purpose for their lives. Every day. What we want to do today is to look in this book of Ecclesiastes. And this book is written by a man who lived over 3,000 years ago. But yet when we read the writings of this book, we see that the issues that he wrote about then, the things that attracted his life, the things that were detrimental to his life, are exactly the same things that you and I face today in the 21st century. the very same things. Now you say, is that so? Yes, it is. The only difference is that in his day, it was just a select few that found themselves in conditions that he found. But today, it is the majority of the world in which we live that find themselves in these same conditions and in their same position. And this morning, though it's a sad commentary, I find that in my travels, and perhaps you found too, of life, as we go about, as we listen at people talk, as we see what is happening in our world, a lot of people that profess today to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior have been caught up in these things that we want to look at. And because of this, they have been distracted and drawn away from the things of God and the blessings that God has in store for their lives. You see it all around us. And Solomon wrote this. Solomon observed all of the things that was happening in his life. He observed even in his day, and he was one, a man that was desperate to find the answer to life's problems. Why am I here? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. He begins by saying, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. So he starts off telling us his position he was in. He says, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, here is his summation. And behold, all is vanity. And King James Version says, vexation of the spirit. The New King James Version says, grasping for the wind. I was walking this morning as we came out of the apartment, and it was blowing a breeze, and I had been studying this, and the thought came to my mind, I'll catch it and hold on to it. You ever tried it? You ever tried catching the wind that's blowing and holding on to it? You may try, but you're not going to hold on to it. It just blows. The Bible says it appears, we feel it, we cannot tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth, and we can't hold on to it. And beloved, this is exactly the lesson of life that you and I have to learn, particularly as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we find ourselves becoming overcome and involved too deeply with the things of life. As Solomon wrote these words, it appeared to him to be nothing but vanity and vexation or grasping for the wind. You can't hold it. And this is a thing I think that we need to really begin to look at in our lives as we become so preoccupied with the things of life. We can't hold on to them, no matter what they are. They are good in its place. But let us not become so preoccupied and taken up with them that we take our eyes and our focus off the most important thing in life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We just can't. Because we find, and we'll see this as we go through these lessons, that when we begin to do this, and Solomon realized it, the first thing that happens in our lives is we begin to fall away from God. We lose the joy of the Lord out of our lives, and we become involved in things that are contrary to the will and the way of God, and we slowly but surely get away from God and His blessings in our lives. And beloved, it's not a myth. This is actual fact. Because it happens every day in life. Solomon describes himself as the king of Jerusalem. He describes the power and the wisdom that he had, that God had given to him. When you go back in the life of this man, and this is important, I think, that we look at this. In 1 Kings, we go back in 1 Kings, and let's read a little bit about this man that might help us to realize where he's coming from. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "And Solomon loved the Lord." That's marvelous. Solomon loved the Lord. "Walking in the statutes of David his father." Go down to verse 12. Here's what God said to him. "Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise any like unto thee." That's a man of wisdom. That's a smart man. And we've got to believe that there's been none since him any brilliant than he was. The Bible says so. Now, we've got some brilliant people in the world in which we live. But God says there will be none before you, nor none after you, that will have the wisdom that you have. He says, "I've given thee that which thou hast not asked for." See, this is the blessings that we get from God when we obey his word. When we find out what life is all about and the purpose of life. God says, "I've given you that which you have not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days of thy life." But then something went wrong. Something went wrong. You look in the 11th chapter of this same book, and you're going to find out what went wrong. And it's the same thing that goes wrong in the lives of so many people today. Chapter 11 of 1 Kings. The first thing, "But Solomon loved many strange women." I'm nothing against women. Oh, nothing at all. I'm here. Thank God. A wife that I loved. And I'm sure all of you men feel the same way. But Solomon's downfall, number one, he loved many strange women. And he ended up with 700 wives and 300 that weren't his wives. There was a lot of women for one man to take care of, I'll tell you. But that was his downfall. 1,000 women, the scripture says. The daughters of Pharaoh, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites, people that God had said have nothing to do with them. And what does he do? He gets away from God. He gets away from God. Verse 4 says, "It came to pass when Solomon was whole that his wives turned away his heart after other gods." Now here's a man that we just read earlier said he loved the Lord. So don't ever get in that position in our lives where we feel that we can't fall. Don't ever. This is why it's important that we keep focused. That we keep our hearts and our minds and we keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, irrespective of the things that are happening around us in life. The things that we may be involved in, even though necessary and important in life, yet there is a point that we come to that we must realize who we are and what we're all about. "And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God," my, "as was the heart of David his father." Look at verse 6. "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he went not," or he did not fully obey the Lord as David his father. And look at verse 9. "And this is the consequences, beloved." This is the consequences that we pay when we allow these things to take preeminence in our lives. "The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice." This was his downfall. He got away from God. He reviews now, as he writes the book of Ecclesiastes in his later years, how he had spent his days. And what is the conclusion? Vanity. And grasping for the wind. So, beloved, we see all of these things of life that we become so preoccupied with, important though they may be, are not as important as keeping our eyes and our hearts fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Solomon realized this in the end times. One of the things we want to look at the next two Sundays, God's Best Life, we want to look at four areas that was really effective in the life of Solomon, and the same areas that are effective in our lives today. Very prevalent, only on a greater scale. On a much greater scale. The things are, the scripture he talks about, learning, which today we would say education. He talks about escaping. Today we call it pleasure. How many times don't you hear people say, I got to get away. I got to get away. Get away from it all. Got to escape. Solomon thought the same thing too. Working or possessions. That's why we work. To obtain possessions and companionship. And there was no lack of it with Solomon. So those were the four major areas in Solomon's life that became his downfall. And I pray to God today that it is not the downfall in your life and mine. I pray that we are aware of these things that are happening in our lives and are happening around us. And we stay focused. And I emphasize the word focus because we need to stay focused. When we start turning away a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, gradually the things of life and of the world will get our attention more than the things of God. And beloved, may I say today, in all sincerity, the things of God and knowing God and doing His will is far more important than anything in life. Whether it be education, whether it be pleasure, whether it be possessions, or whether it be companionship. And why do I say that? Because, as Solomon realized, and we will see this a little later on, it comes to an end, and we leave it all behind. We leave it all behind, and we hear it. You've had many of this happen since I was here with you last March, where you've gone to bed at night, and you wake up next morning, and someone will say, they died. They died. They died. And that's the way it is in life. And what did they do? Did they take it with them? No. It was all left behind. That's why to know Christ, to know the purpose of our being here, to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my friend, is worth everything else in life. It's worth it all. Like that hymn that we sing sometimes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we look in His face and hear Him say, my child, well done. That's what this life is all about to me. And I trust it is to you. I trust it is to you. Solomon looked back on his life. And the 16th and 17th verse of this first chapter, here's what he says. I communed with mine own heart. In other words, I stopped and I began to think. That's what we need to do, beloved. We need to stop sometimes in our lives. And we need to think about where we are. And we need to think about what we're doing. We need to think about where we're heading. And are we pleasing God by the things that we're doing in the lives that we live? He says, I communed with mine own heart, saying, look, I am come to great estate. I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yes, my heart has learned much. King James Version says, great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. But he says, I perceive that this is also a grasping for the wind. A grasping for the wind. And here's what he says in verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief. The more that you know, the more you want to know, the more you find out, the more you get involved, and the more pain you suffer for it. Now, we may not think so, but it happens. It happens. He says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth what? Sorrow. increases sorrow. So you see, that's the end result. That is the end result. Grasping for the wind, increasing sorrow. Let's look a little bit more into Solomon. Solomon's name is synonymous with wisdom. It means wisdom, a wise man. The scriptures we read earlier said that there was no one that possessed such wisdom either before or after him. The scripture tells us in the fourth chapter of 1 Kings that he was wiser than all the men of the East and of Egypt. In chapter 4, verse 32, it says he spoke 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. He knew enough to lecture about the trees and the animals and the birds and the fish. People came from all over the world. The Queen of Sheba came to learn of the wisdom of Professor Solomon. But how did Solomon wise it all up? What did he say? He found out that even though he was able to accumulate these vast amounts of knowledge, he still had a void in his life. There was something missing. And you know what it was? It was that personal relationship that we enjoy when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and we seek to live our lives pleasing to Him and do His will. That's what was missing. And that, unfortunately, is what's missing today, sad to say, in the lives of many of God's people. We see so many running around and they're unhappy. We're unhappy. And why are we unhappy? Because of what's happening in our life. Because the relationship that we have with our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, the one who loves us, the one who gave His Son to die for us, the one who wants us to have that closeness and that relationship, the one that wants us to hold His hand and talk to Him and let Him stir our hearts each day. When we allow these things to come, that relationship begins to fall away and we begin to lose that joy and that happiness that we have in serving Him and knowing Him. Beloved, we need to stop and consider. Solomon, as he grew older, he tried to fill that ache in his heart by seeking answers even from the gods of the nations around him. From the gods of the nations around him. Now, here's a man that the scripture says loved the Lord. But what he starts doing, he starts going in opposite directions away from God, away from the things of God. All of his knowledge could not fill the emptiness he felt. And here's something else he said in verse 15 and 16 of chapter 2, as we look at it. Then said I in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so happens it to me. This also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. In other words, he's saying I can be as brilliant as one can possibly get way there. Fool is down here. But one day will come. One day, what's that day? The day when we leave. And it will all be forgotten. It will all be forgotten. How does a wise man die, he asked the question, as a fool. That's a sad commentary. How does a wise man die as a fool? Why? Because he doesn't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, we can be as brilliant as Solomon was. Or we can be as ignorant as anybody you may know. And if we don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, one's as bad as the other. One is as bad as the other as far as our relationship with Him is concerned. We have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one may ask, and I go through this quickly, one may ask, well, why bother with education? Because it's important. It's imperative in this day in which we live. We need an education. We can't get anywhere without an education. And we need to keep pushing this into our children and our children's children, that education is important. But there is a limit to which we can go. And don't get too occupied with the education and forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. The importance of being here. Ignorance is not a virtue. Ignorance is not a virtue. Solomon never promoted foolishness or stupidity. As a matter of fact, in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 2, he says, I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. That's the difference between having a proper education and being a fool and not understanding. There is a difference, and that's why it's important that we know in our world in which we live today. It is good to gain knowledge. The more Solomons we have in the world, perhaps the better. But Solomon realized that the pursuit of knowledge, just for the sake of knowledge, will leave us empty and void. The pursuit of knowledge, just for the sake of knowledge. I know a lot of people that are doing this even today. They're pursuing knowledge just for the sake of knowledge, just to know that they know that they know. And on the other end, they're forgetting about the one whom to know is life eternal, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we must balance our life out. We must balance our life out. So what's the proper place of knowledge? And I'll finish this off. There's a billboard advertisement for a large hospital in the United States that says knowledge yields. Knowledge yields. But knowledge about genetics, germs, gastric juices cannot heal a broken heart. Can't heal a broken heart. It can't mend the relationship with Jesus Christ that he wants us to have. Knowledge about thermodynamics and astronomy and geology and neurology and meteorology can't provide a purpose for life. It can't provide a purpose for life. The purpose for life can only be found in knowing the one for whom we were born to serve, to honor, and to worship and glorify. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what knowledge is all about. Knowledge without values. We have to have values in our life as well. Knowledge cannot explain the way of life, and it cannot provide the values of life. And this is important. Or the morality. And we're living in a world today where morality is almost non-existent. You know it as well as I do. Knowledge alone is not the answer, my friends. Solomon realized this. Solomon realized what he needed was as values as well. We need those values in our lives. Knowledge without values is like a ship without a rudder. It goes in all directions. You can't control it. And that's the way our lives are. We go in all directions if you don't have those values. The basic value of one's life should be to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. We can't afford to neglect knowledge. It's important. But neither can we afford to neglect the spiritual dimensions of our lives. That's even more important. It's even more important. Then secondly, Solomon realized something else. Escaping the pleasures of life. Look at verse 1 through 3 of chapter 2, and here's what he says. I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a good time. Isn't that what's happening in the world today? Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, what does he say? This also is vanity. We don't think so when we're doing it. We're having fun. And it's great to have pleasure. It's great to enjoy the things of life. But he goes on to say, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth. What does it do? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of man, which they should do under heaven all the days of my life. You know, Solomon, when we read of his life and the things that took place in his life, he had the means to pursue about just about any pleasure imaginable. Just about any pleasure that you and I can imagine. Solomon followed the philosophy of the advertising slogan, "You only go around once in life, so grab all of the gusto you can." That was his philosophy. Isn't that the philosophy of the world in general in which we live today? I only go around once. I only got one life. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to do all I can. But there is yet another life to come. And that's the important one. And we make that decision whether we're going to live the life with the Lord Jesus Christ or we're going to live it in a lost eternity. Solomon recognized this. He did all of the things. He was able to enjoy all of those things and pleasure in his life. But he never was able to grasp what he needed the most. It's that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was missing in his life. And if you read from verse 1 straight on down through verse 11, he talks a lot about it. He talks about the things that he had. He had great works. He made gardens and orchards, pools of water. He had servants and maidens and cattle, great possessions of cattle. He says, "I gathered silver and gold. I got me men singers and women singers. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem." And verse 10, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not mine heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion." But something happened. He said, "Then I looked." He stopped. He said, "I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and grasping for the wind." He said, "All of that that I had, all of that that I did, I realized it was something more. It was something more. It was insufficient." Beloved, I think that that's a message to you and I today. The pleasures of life, though well they may be, though deserved they may be, are insufficient to satisfy that longing in our heart when we do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, it's good to get away. It's good to escape from the pressures of life. But do we escape? I have heard many people say, "I've gone off on a vacation and there was no point in going. I might as well have stayed home." Because you carry it with you in your mind. You can't get away from the telephone, especially this day and time. It's there. It's always there. I was talking to someone this week and we were talking about pleasures. And they said to me, "When I was a little boy growing up, we didn't know too much about vacations and pleasures." And that's true. Maybe many of us older ones here can attest to that. When I was a little kid, I don't ever remember my dad going on vacation. He went on workation. We as kids enjoyed where he went. And that was all I knew about my dad. He worked and worked and worked. Then when I grew up and I got into the workforce, I went on vacation maybe 1 week, 2 weeks out of a year. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But today, we don't go on one vacation. Many of us go 2, 3, and 4 times a year. And then we still don't think it's enough. But you see, we can become obsessed with things such as that as well. Getting away, the pleasures of life, the things of life. And what happens? We allow it to get between us and our relationship with God. That's what happened to Solomon. He enjoyed all of the pleasures of life. He was a connoisseur of fine wines. The best foods were available to him. But even though he sat at these tables, yet his heart and his soul were starving for a personal relationship back with his God, the one whom he originally loved and served. Even his sexual relationships with all of those women didn't have much on Solomon. It just wasn't there. What he was searching for couldn't be found. Music. And that's another area of life that many people are getting involved in that's drawing them away from the things of God. Music. Solomon enjoyed the melodies of music. He didn't need a CD like we see so many today with the headphones on and the CDs down in the pockets or walking around with them in a hand. He didn't need that. He could afford to have a traveling band with him and carry all the music he wanted wherever he wanted to go. But you know something? Beautiful music still didn't solve the issues of his life. It doesn't. It doesn't. Music doesn't offer answers of purpose. Music is a diversion. A diversion. Music is a tranquilizer to get us through another day. We need more than music. Again, I get back to the basics. We need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ more than anything. More than anything. Life today hasn't changed much since the days of Solomon. Actually, it's even on a greater scale than ever before. Everybody's still grasping for the good times. They're ending up with a fistful of emptiness. A fistful of emptiness. Our society is obsessed with sexual gratification. Some are preoccupied with music. Many seek fulfillment through food and drink. And others put all their energies into making everything about them so beautiful. Others pursue pleasure through drugs, which destroy their lives. But whatever it is, it does not give us the fulfillment that we need in our personal lives where our relationship with Jesus Christ is concerned. We need to stop and think about that. We need to consider that this morning. So we switch to something else. And we'll go to that next week, the Lord be not come. I'm out of time. But beloved, this morning, I think the message here is that we, as believers particularly, non-believers, you need to find Christ as your Savior and begin a personal relationship. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to consider Solomon and his life. We need to consider a great man fell. But yet he realized his mistake in life. He realized what he needed most of all. And I pray today that you and I will stop even today in our lives and consider our ways and consider what's happening in our lives and consider our relationship with God. Each one check our hearts for that joy of the Lord. Is it still there? Are we enjoying it? Amidst all that we have in life, we can still enjoy the presence of God and the peace of God and the joy of God. May God bless His word to our hearts this morning for His name's sake. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we've been able to share Your word. May our hearts today have been challenged. May we be encouraged, Lord, to seek Your face, to do Your will, to find out the real purpose of being in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you today for your attention. The Lord bless you.